You own a supercar, you probably don't listen to this podcast, but if you do and you park with your nose lift up, what are you doing?
Harmless
Ben told
fun.
The waiter last night that I was a pizza reviewer.
Yeah, and you told a guy today that I was a policeman.
In slow. Window whopping is what we're doing. We are going window shopping for whoppers. Hello and welcome back to the Cream Podcast, Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, number 96, and this one in Monterey Carwick, a place we didn't think we would be coming to.
Never been before.
We have never been before. We have never been before. It's only our third outing here, second proper outing, but we are out here. We are actually at the end of our trip now. We wanted to do this podcast right at the end so that we could get lots of stuff in here for you. Now, at the end of, no, not the end, at the beginning of every single one of these podcasts, we ask ourselves if cars have ruled or ruined this week. Edwin, you want to kick us off?
It's been a horrible week. I've hated it. I don't like it. No, it has been a fantastic week. It's rule all day. We will get into the specifics of why, but just overall, it's just a great trip every time, and it's made me hungry for more. We want to come back next year. We want to do something with YouTubers next year. I'm putting it a line in the sand now. I want to do something with big time next year before we come here. And also, I want to bring a car here.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say ruin. I was
really
because of drive. I want to drive something.
Yeah, this is true.
The Range Rover's been lovely. We have a Range Rover as a Chiro rental for getting us around and blagging into places. But seeing other people driving stuff, I'm like, this is all cool, but I feel like a little bit of a cuck.
Also. It is. I feel like if a pro tip for you, if you're English and coming here, get something that at some point was worth some money, like an old Range Rover or something, and just put on the accent, and you get in everywhere. Mm. We've just been rolling up to people going, sorry, chap, we're looking for the media tent.
Where we are right now.
And they go, yeah, you can come in. So where we're sitting right now is Spanish Bay, which is a very expensive hotel of some sort. And it looked like they were checking tickets on the way in. And I just fumbled around in the glove box and said, I'm sorry, I'm just looking for a media ticket. But we are here for media. And the guy went, fair enough, and just head on in. So that's a top tip if you're going to be doing that. But this is very cool. I like this place.
It is. It's very cool. This year is very, very busy. Last year was busy. I think Monterey is progressively getting busier and busier.
Yeah.
And I like that we've been in what feels like some of the peak years, if you like. I mean, obviously, the car spotters and stuff, they can be a little bit annoying. Yeah. You go around a corner and there will be 20 to 30 people on a corner all filming the exact same thing. Hey, look, we're out here filming too, but it's nice to move around and get around and see things and go to the events. And we've learned from last year, some of the events aren't the best things to go to. It's the finding out the vibe, looking on Instagram, finding out from people, meeting people about where you want to go. The stuff that isn't online, basically.
Yeah.
That's the best bit.
I will say the one event that is worth going to, that we went to this year that we didn't last year, is the Quail.
Mm.
Ben, is it rule or ruin for you, Big Cheese?
Ruin. I didn't get to go to the Quail.
Nah, tough, isn't it?
Oh, wait, I was there.
He did
it! We did it. In the end,
it wasn't looking likely for a little while.
It wasn't. Before we went, Will said to me, because we have to wear specific clothing to go there, it's a very fancy place, you have to wear shirts and stuff. So I said, I won't bring anything fancy because there's no point. I'm going to be strolling around downtown Monterey alone. And then Will said, nah, bring one, just in case. And then all of the avenues, would you say, Will, to try and get one? Hello.
We just
moved the seat backwards.
We had said before, like off camera, Will and I were like, right, we'll message everyone. We'll try and exhaust everyone. And Will messaged so many different people to see if we could get a ticket to get in for media. Because if you don't remember, you weren't aware of the saga, Ben applied for Quail tickets and he got one for him. Mm. So he said, could I have two more so all three of us can go? We come as a thruple, and they said you can have two. So it's just going to be Will and I.
And it was like a flat out no for the third. And we asked again, said, look, this is our videographer, how are we going to film if we don't have this guy with us? And they were like, doesn't matter, we are at capacity. This is absolutely no way. And then I spoke to Morgan, who Morgan offered for us to drive a car this weekend, but we have had no time at all. They've got a few bits going on out here. And I said to them, look, you're at the Quail, you have a stand. Could you get Ben in? They said, no, like we'd love to, but it's up to the guys organizing it. There is no capacity at all. I then asked Lamborghini, So Lamborghini have been very, very friendly with us. We'll get onto that in a moment. And they are literally, they're like the platinum sponsor at the Quail. They have a huge stand there, loads going on. And they were like, nothing we can do, I'm afraid. So after that, I was like, Ben might not get in. Yeah. I was confident. I thought, well, I've got enough irons in fires that we'll get Ben in somehow. And in the end, we had to buy Ben a ticket. We were actually, it was, again, that thing where you're just sort of going out there meeting people. The guys from DK Engineering said, do you want to come by the house at some point? They were kind of doing like a, almost not like an open evening, but it was sort of an invite only.
Yeah.
Come to the house, see the cars we got here.
We'll eat all of their mac and cheese.
We did eat a lot of mac and cheese.
Flew the mac and cheese straight out. It was crazy.
And it was the most fantastic mac and cheese.
It was an incredible mac and cheese. Shout out to the DK, people that work at DK that listen to the podcast as well.
Yeah, Freddie and James in particular, they're the guys we've been speaking to. But yeah, they said, come down. And we did. And then we got chatting to a few people there. And there was one guy there who said, I might have a ticket. Because we said, look, we'll just buy it at this stage.
Yeah.
As long as it's not ridiculous money. It is ridiculous money. But not ridiculous, ridiculous money. We will buy it because as funny as it would have been to not have Ben go, I actually wouldn't have liked it.
No,
it would not have been nice. Now that we've done it as well, it would not have been nice for us to walk around doing that and Ben not be there. So we tried to buy it, and then the next day he said to you, sorry, man, I don't have that ticket anymore. So it was feeling rough. And then I thought, well, sod it. Let me ask Freddie at DK. And he said, yeah, we've got a couple left that we would sell. And we bought it from them, picked up the ticket wristband the night before the Quail.
Also, we tried to do payment beforehand, couldn't do it, and they said just sort it when you're back in the UK. DK, if you haven't received that payment, I'm sure it's on the way.
Yeah,
just give it like 30 to 40 days
and we're not back in the UK.
Net 30.
Right now we haven't paid, so it was a free ticket. Thanks so much, DK.
We also said it will just come out of Ben's paycheck if it doesn't come through, so don't worry about that.
Very small drop in the ocean. But Freddie literally said, when I asked him and he told me the price, he said, it's worth it for the food alone. You know what?
You know what? He went wrong. I wasn't aware of this. All of the food and drink there is complimentary.
Yeah.
Which does make sense if you pay for
the amount
ticket.
Of money, yeah. I think, I reckon, if it had been DK Engineering, we would have eaten our way in mac and cheese. Mm. We would have covered the cost for the ticket and that alone.
And now, next time we're here, whether it's for Car Week or whatever, we may well buy a car.
Yeah.
I want to drive something. It'd be cool to build something or just to drive something cool while we're out here or buy something. And if we do, we can just use Car Vertical when we're out here. And obviously, they are the sponsor of this week's podcast. Thank you very much to those guys.
That's right. Whether you have a car, van, motorbike, whether it's US registered, UK registered, or anywhere you go, Car Vertical supports checking vehicles in nearly 50 different countries. All you need is the number plate or the VIN, and you can find out if that car has been crashed, stolen, or clocked. We use it on everything we buy, and it gives us the peace of mind that there isn't some sort of hidden, dodgy information that we're missing out on when we buy that car.
So make sure that when you do your Car Vertical check, use our code, that's CREAM, that will get you 20% off your next check. But also you can bundle a load of checks together. So if you and a bunch of friends know you might be buying a load of cars this year or the next 6 months, and you want to do a load of checks on cars, you can actually get up to 50% off if you bundle them together. It's an unbelievably useful tool. It finds out things that have been hidden underneath stones, and Car Vertical is the tool in which you overturn them.
So, but what have we got? What have we got on our list? So that's somehow two rules and a ruin on this.
I would go with a rule.
Will.
Oh.
But I like driving cars.
Yeah, but you're in Monterey for the week, my son.
No, but it's cool, but driving cars is cool. Also, we saw Blake as well, and we saw the Mercy Largo. And even he also offered for me to, or any of us really, to drive his car. But I was like, I want to drive my own car here. So a little dream would be to bring our own cars out here at some point.
Somehow,
some way. Do the week, do all the proper events, go out to Big Sur in our own car. Well, UK plates as well would be cool.
Also, another big shout out to Paul at Speedbroker, who's the one that, there you go, there's the hat we've been repping. When we actually spoke to him just before we went to Monterey last year, he said, why didn't you tell me you were going to Monterey? I know someone that has a house there. I could probably get you accommodation. If you aren't aware, accommodation on Monterey Car Week is one of the hardest things, the whole thing to do if you're coming here. If you're planning to do it, book that in advance.
And we booked last year, possibly 6 months in advance.
6 months in advance.
Paid all of the money.
It was a couple of £1,000 to stay in a town 45 minutes away where there were gunshots going off at night. Not a joke.
They had a nice Olive Garden, though.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think it was a bad Olive Garden. So
Paul's business is essentially, It's like a concierge service, basically. It's high-end cars. It's enthusiast cars, basically. They've just dealt with selling an SLR McLaren. Mm. But it's if you're looking to source a car, you're trying to sell a car, you're trying to store a car, any of that kind of stuff, that's the sort of stuff Paul and the guys at Speedbrokers deal with. So make sure you hit them up on Instagram. Say thank you from the Creamers.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The accommodation, that was a big help.
It was massive, massive help.
A huge, huge help. And we were much closer as well this year. Last year we were further out, now we're closer. It's been an immense help.
Yeah.
In a good look. And beachfront.
I like how you're holding, for audio viewers, Ben is holding the hat up like he's on JVC.
We have lot four today. Let's start the bidding at.
Speaking of auctions,
we're going later.
Well, we've also already been to some. America, the market in America, I've decided, is dumb. It's pointless and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're insane.
I watched a 400-mile Ferrari 550 sell for, was it $570,000? Mm. And then one with like 3,000 miles sold for $550,000. What are we doing? This doesn't make any sense. And then a 458, was it a Speciale?
Yeah.
Sold for $2.2 million. Well, who's choosing? Who's doing this?
We were stood there when the Speciale went up, like thinking, oh, here it comes. It'll be a nice little 300 grand on it. And then boom, started being off at $1 million. Went, what?
I'm on the side of a car's worth what it's worth.
Mm.
If someone's willing to pay it, that's what it's worth. But the Speciale made me angry. There's no sense of reality in that.
Mm.
$2.2 million. That, like, a year ago would have got you a Carrera GT.
Yeah.
What? It doesn't make any sense to me. So tonight you will now know of what the result of, but we don't yet know what the result of that McLaren F1 is.
Yeah. So there's the curated, I can't remember what they call it, something related to originality. They've got a load of Lamborghinis that are ultra, super, mega original. So like just original paint, very low miles, that kind of thing. Kind of a bit sad when it comes to that stuff, because those cars haven't been used. They'll probably get bought and still not get used. And there's some cool stuff in there. There's a 40th anniversary. There's the Murcielago SV. There's a couple. There's a Diablo in there, a Countach. But we've seen those cars. Obviously, the big one is the F1.
Yeah, the big
one.
Yeah.
Which they're saying 30, 35 million.
Can we get a prediction, please? Everyone around?
I think, do you know what? I'm set. I think it's a $50 million car.
I think $37 million.
I'm going to say it just touches 40. I think just bang on 40.
We're going to be in the room, hopefully. The goal is to be in the room.
Of course, we have the bidder. We have the big bidder himself.
We have the man with the liquid.
But the thing I'm most excited for is, because I absolutely love auctions. I could sit there all evening and watch
it. We need to get you to buy a car from an auction.
I'd love
because
that.
Because in theory, you shouldn't like auctions because you're the most anxious human on earth. And buying a car from an auction is very anxiety-inducing. So I don't understand.
I just love the atmosphere. It's the drama of it. It's the fact that there's just always people like shouting out numbers, and I think part of it was
you'd love a maths class.
Yeah, I hated it at school famously. But tonight I can't wait for that moment where he goes, right, start the bidding offer, let's say 20 mil. And it just starts going, oh, 21, 22, 23, and then everyone's all these rich dudes are...
I said this to Ben last night, but it feels illegal that there's no timer. That there's no okay, this one's now going through. This is going to last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it is. There was a 360 that went through that went relatively quickly. I get it that the auctioneer and you know the company, they are going to, they can read the room and they know when something is probably not going to go or you know keep going or whatever, and maybe they need to hit reserve or whatever. But it feels illegal when something goes on for ages. When it was like it gave me a flashback to the Murcielago where I was like, it got to a point where I was like, You have to sell it now.
Yeah, and they go,
no one else is saying that.
Come on now. Come on. Who's going to do it? And then, but also, who's waiting until that point? Who's gone, right, I was interested. I've been outbid. And then goes,
no.
Are you on the phone for a bit? Have you gone to the toilet and gone popcorn? And then come back and when they've gone, oh, we're still going on this, by the way. They've gone, oh, actually, I'll carry on.
The Enzo went last night. Well, a few Enzos have been, actually. One was at Broad Arrow, and then there's one last night that was at Sotheby's, which we did see, that sold for, I think it was about $9.5 million with fees.
Crazy.
Which is unbelievable. The other one was $10 million and a bit dollars with fees. But it went on for ages.
Yeah.
I mean, it was eking out. It got to like eight, and it was like, that seems sold.
Yeah.
At around eight, or it got to around 7.5, and it was like, no, we seem done here. And it was like, well, we'll just squeeze eight and a half. But it was going up in hundreds and 50s and 25s at that point.
There was also on this trip, we'll get onto all the people, different people we've met on this trip, but we did meet up with Richard Porter and Johnny Smith from the Smith and Smith podcast. And Richard Porter happened to walk in to the auction at the same time as we were watching it last night. He sat down, had a conversation. We started talking. I think we managed, at the beginning of the Enzo, he sat down. We managed to get through about four or five different stories before looking up and realising the Enzo was still going on. It was 5 to 10 minutes minimum.
It's, the thing that annoys me, right, is when you go, so you have like two bidders going against each other, and then they'll get to, call it half a mil, right? And that person goes, oh, I'm not going to bid anymore. And the next person bids a bit more. And then it pauses for like 2 minutes to do a bit more. And then that keeps happening. 10 minutes later, they're like 300 grand higher than they were. Yeah. I'm like, you can't be at the point where we're about to leave, and then suddenly you've been another 300 grand on it.
But then equally, there are some where, I think it was the beginning of the Enzo, where it started at four and someone just went seven.
Yeah.
You've bid yourself up. I think it was two. I think it was five and it went to seven. You've bid yourself up $2 million.
And the grind, you probably were going to get there anyway, but there is a chance that no one else bid, and then you just waste them.
On an Enzo, I reckon. Yeah, you're probably relatively safe. You just go, let's cut to the chase. Ain't going to sell for four.
Is that what someone's going to do on the McLaren? Someone's going to stand up and go, $100 million.
Everyone, man. Sold to that man. And someone goes, 101.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a sickening amount of money that's just being thrown around. It when you're here, because all day, all you're seeing is Koenigseggs and, you know, Bugattis and things, you kind of get a little bit used to it. When you take a step back and you go, we're going to be working on a £4,000 Mercedes E55 when we get home. Mm. This is a bit strange.
Yeah,
that the increments are going up in $500,000.
Yeah,
you kind of forget that. But so what have we got first on the list?
We have some newsy bits. Obviously, lots of cars have been revealed here. This will now be old news to you, but look, you're all used to this now, so don't worry about it.
Can we get a favourite car revealed each, please?
As in reveal?
Yeah.
S1. Well.
Reveal.
Always S1. S1.
I'd say probably the S1. I'm rifling through my brain to see if there's anything else in there.
I like the McLaren thing. We didn't actually see that. So
no.
We did accidentally stumble upon. There are lots of different houses around the posher parts of the already posh area, the ones behind the gated communities, that if you happen to drive past at the right time of night when the gates are open and guests are leaving or entering, you might just peer in a little bit. And we happen to drive past a gate, look in and see a McLaren F1 high downforce, a P1 and a W1 McLaren. And we thought that's probably safe to say that's going to be the McLaren household. They weren't at the Quail, but they did reveal on that morning their manual. So it's based on the M6? I don't even know the name of it.
So the original was M6 GT, yep. Which was an older McLaren, obviously pre the modern McLaren era. And it has a manual gearbox.
Yeah.
And I think it is an actual manual gearbox, not the not like the Ferrari one, the fake one. I'll find out some details on that while everyone else talks about something else.
Okay.
I like the way it looks. I like how it doesn't look like a McLaren, but well, I also think it looks like a GMA.
I said before I was a bit worried that I thought they were just remaking the old one. I thought they were just doing a reproduction like the Bizzarini thing. But the fact that it looks modern, but it's a hark back to that with lower power, I think that's bang on the mark. I think that's... I would be interested to see if other manufacturers start doing this, where they don't keep chasing... Vehicle shut down. Where they don't keep chasing crazy amounts of power, they go, here's the sweet spot, here's a manual gearbox, enjoy. That'd be cool.
Six-speed manual, $1.5 million.
Feels...
go on.
I was going to say, feels cheap.
Now, again, this is the...
Not from us or anything like that.
Well, I'm just, two of us.
I'm just saying that, like, compared to, like, a GMA, for example... GMA, you could get one for what 1.5 they started at, but any kind of special edition now, well, the S1 is not going to be 1.5 mil.
Again, this whole week skews your perspective on what the value of cars.
$1 million car.
Bloody
hell,
mate! 458 Speciale was 2.2. I think that's a fantastic
deal. Absolute bargain at $1 million. This is a bargain automobile.
I'll take two, and then we walk into a local bar and they say, "Yeah, that auto will be $6," and Ben nearly faints.
I bought from RM a can of Coke, a Diet Coke, and it was cold, very cold.
Fair enough.
But unless you're refrigerating that in Antarctica and flying it in, I am not paying you $8 plus a tip.
No, yeah, that was the bit. So I paid. I was so very thirsty. I handed the can and it popped up on the screen, $8, and I just stared at it. And I was like, no, surely not. And then the thing below said, would you like to add a tip? Mm. And I chuckled and I put, no, obviously not, because I'm English. And I paid. And then I stood back and I watched Ben's interaction. And I watched the woman put the can in front of Ben. Ben happy. Ben placid. He's okay. I watched the little card reader illuminate. And I watched Ben look down and his smile fade. At that point, it was confusion, I'd say, was the look on the face. And then I saw the screen change to the tip one, and I saw it change from confusion to anger.
All right. I know tipping is very different here to how it is at home. I get that. I'm not the sort of guy that isn't going to tip anyone. I always tip when we're here. Well, however, I did have tipped every time.
Well, you nearly tipped too much.
I did. We can get onto that. but no offence, I'm not going to tip you for opening a fridge and handing me a can. It was already $8.
It was a fantastic story related to this.
That is what, yeah.
Benjamin is...
I'm not great at maths.
I mean, it makes total sense, really. Given the ridiculous funds he stonks that this man is holding in his pockets. We went to for dinner, and a relatively nice place in Carmel, which we went to before, previously with our friend Peter, who couldn't be with us, unfortunately. Not because he's dead.
No, he's alive still.
Just because he's not here.
His friend was getting married,
I think. We went there for him, because we thought, look, Peter's not here with us, but let's go in honour of him, because he's not here. And so, all had a lovely lunch, and we said, split that check. Thanks, we'll each pay for what we paid for. And the bill arrived, and I wrote down my tip, which you do about 20%, if you that's what basically everyone said. Go for that as about an average. And I looked over and I looked at Ben's tip and it was nearly 50% of his cut.
Yeah.
And I said to Ben, how much do you think the tip is here? And he went, that's about 20%, isn't it? And I said, Ben, have a quick think about how much that is. And he looked down again and you went bright red. And then I said, you can't change that, Ben, now that you've written it down. Yeah. And you went, I'm not going to change it. Why would I change it? I went, so you're happy? You're happy giving nearly a 50% tip? And what did you do, Ben?
But given that we were splitting this bill, it was expensive, but not that expensive. It was a $25 tip.
Yeah.
Not all of us. That was just Ben's tip.
Just Ben's tip. Because, right, so they bring you...
No, let's cut to the chase. No. Let's not try and...
For those who don't know...
Ben, what did you do?
What they do in the US, is they bring you your receipt. So they come over with the bill... Then you give them your card, they disappear and go and swipe it.
Sure.
Right? They pre-charge your card.
Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they bring you the receipt.
Explain the tip system.
No, because some people don't know this.
Okay.
Then they bring the bill over and then you write what tip you want to give,
cool.
Sign it.
That's where I start the story, but carry on.
At the bottom of that piece of paper, they have a suggestion for tips. So it'll give you, like, if you want to leave an 18% tip, it's this much. But what that is
for... Is that an echo?
The total.
A percentage of the total bill. So I looked at it, I thought, well, I'll leave that tip it had suggested.
No, but the receipt you got was just for yours.
No, it wasn't. It was for all of it.
The thing at the bottom is the total suggested tip across the whole thing.
But even though we split it, I wrote it down not thinking.
But then here's my question, Ben.
Yeah.
That total suggested tip was under what they suggested.
No, it wasn't.
Was it not? Because I remember looking at it and I know what that number was.
It would have been. I bet an 18%.
But what did you, Ben? None of this politician like skirting around the question. What did you do?
I changed it.
You scribbled it out.
That was the
and
bit.
Made it less.
You tried. Also, that was the best thing. Ben tried to change a number on it.
I did. I tried to change it from $25 to $15 by because the two I'd written was kind of like a one, and it looked even worse. So I don't know what I did, but I just scribbled it out and wrote next to it.
So, you know what, Ben was just getting to grips.
Hey, listen, I paid my
Ben
normal tip.
Ben just throwing dollars around going, look, the exchange rate's fantastic, I've heard. Let's start throwing dollars at people.
I'm picking up a McLaren F1 for 40 mil tonight. What does this mean to me?
I made a mistake, and I did leave my 20% tip.
Yeah,
just on my cut of it, because you'd already left your tips. But I couldn't leave a 50%, that's tough for me.
So, to answer... I don't know how we managed to get off sidetracked.
The McLaren manual.
Oh, that was it. Okay, so have you got any information on that?
They said around 500 made. It is an actual authentic manual gearbox, and about on $1.5 million. So yeah, I'll be very interested to see. I couldn't really see much about power figures and stuff. I assume it'll be less than the, you know, like P1s, W1s, Sennas, that kind of thing, because it's a manual.
Mm.
But it's cool. It's a shame that sort of thing has to be now a limited run.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not just like that. Here's your base model sports car, supercar, whatever. It has the manual gearbox. You can option whatever.
I was thinking about this earlier. How many 675 coupes have we seen on this trip?
Oh, a few.
Oh.
But there are 675 coupes worldwide.
Yeah.
In theory, in my head, it's like, oh, it's a limited run thing. But 675 is a lot of cars. Mm. That's more than F50s, that's more than Enzos, that's more LaFerraris, coupes. So 600 means you probably will still see them around. the term limited is getting a little bit loose.
Yeah.
Like the Revuelto SV that was just launched, 1963, the year that it was revealed. That's quite a lot of cars, because that doesn't include convertibles when they inevitably make those. So I guess now it's just a thing of what?
Technically, all cars are limited.
This is a great, not one's cars currently in production.
No, but eventually they become limited.
That's the thing. Usually McLaren stuff is relatively loose with limited run. Limited should, in theory, mean
a finite number.
There is a number of these. Yeah. There are only 500 of these. Like the Revuelto, where it's like there are only 1,960 of three of these. There's always blurring of like, Ferrari does it a lot, where, hey, we'll only make this month that many, or maybe 10 more.
Or maybe 50 or 100.
Or maybe 100 less. Yeah. I don't know. Like the Murcielago SV, actually, I think they said there's around 300, 350 of those, or the number was 350. They sold 186. So they're very, very low production numbers. But my brain has gone.
It's still here. It is. Limited numbers. Oh, it's back again,
here it
is.
Yeah, the limited number thing. But yeah, that's that car. We didn't get to see it, which is very annoying.
The S1, though, I will like to talk about the S1. Mm. Gordon, mate, you're welcome. We said it again.
Yep.
We said it last year before Monterey Car Week. They should make a F1 LM or an F1 inspired car. Gordon obviously listens to the podcast.
He does.
So he thought, good one, chaps. Let's get it going. And then we said, S1 LM, very cool. But I'd love to get one that's a road car.
Mm.
Gordon said, fantastic, Cream. I'm a big listener. I'm a big fan. Obviously, Ben's the biggest customer, so we have to listen to him anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get that in production. And there it is. So from
we saw the teaser, and it had like a side profile. And I was like, that's a McLaren.
I looked at it. I was like, I know you. I know your shape. I know where you're from. But yeah, I love that car. The moment it was revealed, we were in the area. The moment I laid eyes on it, I was like, that's great. Mm. I'm still a little bit unsold on the front. There is something missing on the front. I think it needs like the high downforce kit looking splitter on the front, because it looks a little bit guppy at the front. I can't really explain it.
Shout out to our GMA listeners.
Yeah. James, and I didn't get the other guy's name, but there are two listeners who say they watch the channel and listen to the podcast. Mega shout out again. Cannot believe there are actually people like that listen to this dross.
Chap that walked over to us in a GMA gilet and just said, I love the channel. I mean, British accent, cool, you're nearby, yep. So, but still, like, GMA, like, brother, you work at GMA.
Yeah, I thought for sure when he walked over, he was going to tell us to leave, because we were kind of hanging around, and we had just spoken to Gordon Murray.
We did.
That's a crazy one. So at the Quail, you find, it's kind of like shiny Pokemon just around. There's just rare people.
Yeah. And we weren't actually there early, but we were there with... Sorry, there's an R8 revving in the car park.
I think we'll wait a moment.
We weren't there like super early, because we thought, they start at like 8. We were there like 9, 9:30, but it felt like we were really early, because they were just like celebrities and famous people, like in the car world anyway, just lingering around, just ready, like a video game. They were there with a question mark above their head, and we had to go over it and interact. And we were just ticking them off early in the morning.
Now, we said each of us needs to go in and start the conversation, because that's a hard thing to do, to walk up. And so Will started us off, Matej Rimac.
Yep.
He was just walking around GMA T50s, taking quite up-close photos, which is quite funny. In my head, I'm thinking CEOs of car companies aren't doing that.
No.
He's just walking up with an iPhone going... Yeah, nice grill insert. That's cool. I'll send that to my dad, and he'll give me a thumbs up in return or something.
He's doing a piece by piece 3D scan.
But so Will walked up, said hi to him. Mm. He was clearly a little bit like, I've got a lot of stuff to do today. Yeah. He was conserving his energy. He wasn't that animated, but he was very nice and very kind and chatted for a few moments with us. One day he'll be on Cream Podcast. We say this now.
Mm.
But then after that, Gordon, he was just standing around, and we thought it's now or never. Walked up to Gordon Murray. We didn't speak for very long to him, but we just said, we're a big fan of your work. Thank you very much for what you do. And he was just a lovely gentleman.
Yeah,
just a really lovely gentleman. And we also saw him coming out of a restaurant the other night.
We did.
I looked over.
We saw him in the wild.
In the wild. I looked over, and I was about to make a joke and say, that guy looks like Gordon Murray, just like Theo Pavitas, and went, and that is Gordon Murray.
That is Gordon Murray, yeah.
So we got the two. Ben's job was the big egg himself, was Christian von Koenigsegg. Ben, how did that go?
And there were, I'm going to say, two or three
I would say three opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
You got him, right?
Yeah.
No.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't get him.
Right. They've been getting abused for this for the last 24 hours.
Yes.
We just wanted you to complete a nice little trifecta of introductions and meetings. But nonetheless, the Quail, just one of the best days. I have one more question on the S1, and this is for anyone who is actually at GMA. Maybe this information's out there and I haven't done my reading, but the F1 was, and still is, to my mind anyway, the fastest naturally aspirated car, 240 miles an hour, and will probably never be beaten. But with that car being a sort of basically a modern day McLaren F1, is that car geared for that? Is it geared for top speed, or did Gordon not care about that and he went more for the ultimate road car thing rather than top speed? But I'd love to know that.
Because there are,
or to be like we were saying, like if it was a mile an hour less, so it doesn't take the F1 off the top,
or
a mile an hour faster, so it is the fastest thing. I would love to know that.
Yeah. So there's something like, I think it was 64, which basically matches the amount of road car chassis of F1. Which is just cool. I'm on board with this whole thing. Mm. I'm very happy.
Also,
with.
They did say to us that they were thinking it would maybe only be a very limited number again, sub 10, something like that. But they had so many people interested. They have more people interested than the cars they're selling, basically.
Yeah, yeah, far
so,
more.
Like it's insane. So the it's just insane. I mean, it is an F1.
I'd simply just like to be a passenger at some point.
And it's
just
a bargain.
That's the other thing. They said the price. What was it? Four?
I can't remember. No one. I don't think they've confirmed a full-on price, but we heard some rumours. It's like sub 10 million.
Which,
say.
Again, it's stupid, where that now seems... That's a pretty good deal.
Compared to what we're about to see.
Compared to going and buying yourself a McLaren F1, I think after the nights, a lot of people might be ringing up Gordon Murray and going, can I get one of those? Can I get the S1? Is that possible?
So any of those left? No.
What have we got next?
Who else did we meet also on our quail journey? So we
Ben, you wrote it down.
Now, these weren't necessarily meetings, but we have played a game of spotting people that we know.
Yeah.
This is at the quail we're talking about, or just in general?
I've gone for the whole week.
This is the whole week. Just people that we know that we've spotted, maybe we weren't able to speak to, we just saw them in passing.
What I'll do is I'll rattle off the entire list, and then if you want to have any little anecdotes about meeting them, you can fire them off afterwards.
Yep.
Matteo Rimac,
fantastic guy.
Christian von Koenigsegg.
Didn't meet him, just saw him.
Valentino Balboni,
we did meet, and he was a fantastically nice chap.
You know what, we'll do it after each one. That was a good one. That was at the Quail. You got to speak to Valentino Balboni, ask him about the pronunciation of Gallardo. Hey now, he said it was Gallardo.
We do have some opposition to that, which we'll get to in a minute. But he says Gallardo, although he did then tell me that Murcielago is Murcielago, not Murcielago. So, look, I'm going to blend the two. I'm going to go with Murcielago and Gallardo.
Also, we'll got a little bit of heat from... just a little quiet heat from Valentino Balboni. He said, do you own a Lamborghini? Well, so I owned a Gallardo. And he was happy. He was positive about that.
Amazing.
And then he said, and Will said, I sold it from Murcielago. And he just went, eh.
Also, quite cool. Not only did he ask me if I still have the Gallardo, he said, do you still have it and drive it?
Yeah.
That's what he wanted to know. He's like, do you use that thing? And I said, no, I've sold it now. I have the Murcielago. And he said, get out of it. But no, he was incredibly nice. Took a photo with him. He was probably our only of the sort of automotive car maker type thing. We actually had a full conversation with him for a little while.
He was incredibly gracious.
He was just there on his own as well. No one was near him.
No.
We're like, how the hell is no one talking to Valentino Balboni? And it was busier at the time as well. And there he was, just a really cool dude. If you don't know who that is the legendary Lamborghini test driver who also has a Gallardo, whatever you want to call it, named after him, which was a secret thing they made for him to surprise him with. So, yeah, just mad cool.
And then I mean, he's not next on the list, but we should mention it. You find this out next week, we say. The actual podcast will go out.
Oh, yeah.
But Will somehow managed to wangle the CEO of Lamborghini for a very short little 15-minute interview at Monterey this week. But there's an issue. You asked him about Gallardo. He wasn't happy about it.
Now, he did. He was very diplomatic about it and just did say, look, you can say it however you like.
Yeah.
But one of the first questions I asked was, how do you pronounce that? And he went, Gallardo. I was like, all right, no, that's good, actually, yeah. But then I said, I said, Balboni said Gallardo, and he was like, you can pronounce it however you like.
Now, Blake Sandberg.
Yep.
We were having a
fist fight we were having.
We had a heated debate in the foyer of the RM Sotheby's auction last night.
Crazy. Ridiculous.
Where he said, and to be fair, I'm going to say something, I actually kind of agree with him. He said, it's a Spanish word, therefore
that,
it should be pronounced
in a Spanish
way. That
is the argument.
But it's by Italians.
Yeah. It's a Spanish word. It's the name of a Spanish bull. They all are. So therefore, it should be in the Spanish way.
Yeah, but why don't you ask for your surname to be said in a Welsh way, then?
Because I'm not...
Oh, weird.
Welsh, technically. Well, but you are. Isn't Welsh.
Sorry, could you say it correctly? It's Benjamin Rogers. 80, we're going 80. We really are.
He's not. So those two.
But Theo was, that was mad.
And you will see, it's only short, it's 15 minutes. Yeah. We didn't get very long with him. But we'll put that up on the Cream Podcast, Spotify and YouTube later this week or next week, so you'll get to hear a few questions of those. Also, there's a fountain in the background. Apologies for that. Yeah, it was at a very posh house. I spilt broccoli on the floor.
It was either a stand-up interview of lots of people around, a garden with music blaring, or a fountain. So we went for fountain.
Going into it, he was expecting an interview of some sort. I asked, look, can we do it in a kind of a podcast format? And they just said, look, we'll try and do what we can do. On the day, he has many different... Yes. He's the CEO of Lamborghini, and also it's in preparation for Pebble Beach coming up. There's the 60th year anniversary of Miura. There's the launch of the Revuelto SV. There's so much going on. So the fact that we got given a half an hour slot, basically.
Yeah, very kindly.
To do that. And they said, look, we'll get you half an hour.
Also,
I only found out on Monday or Tuesday, confirmed that they were doing it. So
also, it was bang on half an hour. Like, they let us have as down to the second. They were like, right, he's to go now.
And then he had to go. But he was very, very nice. I'm hoping that will come out quite well. But yeah, you should see that soon.
Who we got next, Ben?
We have also spotted, we've got Matt Armstrong.
We've got
Matt Jones.
And Matt Armstrong's dad, who we feel a bit bad if we didn't speak to Matt Armstrong.
Yeah, he was chilling, to be fair, maybe he didn't want to meet us.
He was actually straight up.
He was lounging. I was jealous.
He was sat under an umbrella looking over the quail, and you know what? That's where you want to be.
Oh, yeah, heard.
We found out Matt would be here. He posted it on Instagram. He was asking if anyone had, I think it was a B7 RS4, actually. Mm. So we sent him a message and said, yo, we're also going to be there, we think, you know, because we've never been. And he said, yeah, let us know when we're there. And we happened to come across him at the Quail. I don't think he knew he was going to the Quail. It was all a bit last minute. But we saw him at the Quail. I was like, look, man, this would be a shame not to go and meet him. We're both in the UK. Similar levels.
Yeah.
Similar levels in terms
similar
of
cars.
Automobiles, you know, in terms of views and whatever else. But we had a very, very long chat with him and also with Matt. Me and Matt Jones spoke deeply about Murcielagos.
After many, many minutes.
And passionately.
Chris Harris. We saw running around.
We think...
Running? Well, he was walking briskly.
Yeah.
In a lovely Bentley jacket, which I wanted to buy and I couldn't find.
Really? We looked for a while for that Bentley jacket.
We saw a lot of people in that Bentley jacket. I wanted to buy one.
If you have any Bentley creamers listening who work for Bentley themselves and you know how to get that jacket on Ben's backside, he loved that.
It says Bentley Motors on it and it looks vintage.
It says 1919.
Cool. Yeah. He was walking around. We didn't say hi to him. We then, to be fair, didn't really spot him again. He just sort of disappeared.
No, he's too fast.
Yeah.
Who got next?
We briefly saw both Shmi and Seen Through Glass walking around.
Again, an enemy of the state. We saw him eating pizza just across from us and we said we should go over and say hi to Shmi. And then he was gone like the wind.
We are destined to be in the... us and Shmi, we don't necessarily cross over in terms of content, loosely,
yeah,
because it's cars. But every now and then, maybe two or three times a year, we get within 3 centimetres of each other.
Yeah.
And it's always this brush past.
It's
like a meteor hits. It's like there's a meteor about to crush, hit Earth. And they go, don't worry about it, it's just going to brush past.
It's at most, it's the Dark Knight scene of the nodding across, where we look across and go, yeah.
But JWW was there, Seen Through Glass. I don't know who else is on your list, but DDE also we came past.
Noah Evans! Shout out.
Hell yeah.
And wearing a generational debt t-shirt. Yeah.
Shout to out the Quail. Evans.
We were in somewhat of panic before the Quail, because in the weeks leading up to the Quail, thinking, well, how do we dress for this?
Yeah.
How do we get dressed up for this? We need to wear the right thing, not be turned away.
We went shopping 3 times this week.
Yeah, you will also see, I think, in the video that goes on the second channel, kind of rounding up the whole trip, Will and I looking like you've never seen Will and I before. I'm wearing linen trousers. I never have this in my life. I bought this for the trip. And most of these events, turns out, you just didn't really need it. Noah Evans, son of Chris Evans, turned up to the Quail in a generational debt Lamborghini t-shirt.
Which was a fantastic
also,
thing to see.
Don't know if I'm allowed to out him, but on a child's ticket.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know what? He's on some TDC bullshit.
I love the grind is there. And also, actually, on that t-shirt, not related to this, but old Vin, previously of Hoodigan, he posted about his trip to the UK recently, and he posted a picture of a Generational Debt t-shirt.
Fantastic.
It's just doing the rounds. Who else we got on that list, Benjamin?
Also, I know Evans informs that despite that we know him, he bought a ticket to Chelsea Walsh.
Yeah. Managed to blag his way into the Quail, but bought a ticket to Chelsea Walsh. Nice.
Which is this Saturday.
Can't blag your way
into
Chelsea Walsh.
Yes, this Saturday.
So if you want to come and see the boys going up a hill quickly, that is not a good way of advertising.
Quickly is optional as well.
Just going up a hill.
Yeah.
And possibly coming back down it.
That remains to be seen.
Then get a ticket. We've got, you got your Richard Porters of the world. You've got Johnny Smith. Johnny Smith managed to wrangle himself a rough cowboy hat.
Fantastic hat.
I thought it was his outfit. I thought he bought it from home because of how much he had that shit on.
hold on. Where's my phone? I have to, traditionally, we only speak to Richard Porter through this medium. Through the medium of published podcasts.
And he's been informed that when we're outside the US...
That is how it works. We do not... While on this trip, because he was in the local area, we exchange numbers, so I have him on WhatsApp. But we have made very clear that will stop when we're home. It will only go back to this.
He likened it to a holiday romance.
He said, are you at the Quail? I said, we are. Where may I find you? He said, I'm currently by the roof stand. Johnny just got a hat. And has sent me a hat. We will put it up on the screen now. Johnny looking... you know what? I was jealous. I can't pull a hot hat off like that.
No.
It's clean.
I don't think I could have done that.
What I'll admit is that we walked past the rough stand and saw the hats and we said, we probably won't get those hats. And after seeing Johnny Smith, we went back and tried to find
some. We tried to get some hats of our own.
Yeah. That's actually someone else you met as well, actually. The daughter of the main man at Rough, basically, she's kind of runs a lot of it there. Aloisa, we met her very briefly as well. So we're just at the Quail. We're just
out here connecting.
Chris Harris was the only mingling. One who was escaping our grasp.
Him? Thank God.
Thank God. I was trying to. I really was. When we saw him running, that was away.
He was jumping into bins and like behind plants, like it's a stealth,
a
stealth game, waiting for us to pass.
Is it a bale of hay?
Anyone else?
Obviously, the boys from DK.
Very nice, James. James and Freddie. Massive shout out. They also invited us to, like Will said, their house party. It was very posh and very nice, and we didn't belong there. I did manage to film Ben and Will doing a crispy dap outside on their balcony.
Yeah.
Not sure they'd be happy about that.
Evan gave us three attempts.
They might have thought we were stalking them early on. We're not, I will promise you that. We knew that, we were just cruising around. First few days, it was very, very quiet. First couple of days, it was quite quiet here. It tends to be sort of the Tuesday and the Wednesday stuff starts to get going. But we were driving around. Edwin had an idea to drive into a place I cannot remember, but it's somewhere here. And what did we see? Lo and behold, but the guys from DK filming with the two GT1s? GT1s? The two GT1s. And more importantly than that.
Best car.
The Zonda F. That Zonda F.
The Pagazzondini.
Oh, sorry.
God.
The Pagazzondini was there, and it's one of the most, just the most fruitful Pagazzondinis.
There's been a couple of Pagazzondinis.
There have been. Because last year, we don't think we saw any.
No.
And there's just been...
Mate, we got the...
Tugsy's come out this year.
Not only that, I can't do the accent to carry on, then people are going to switch off. One of the first nights, it was just after that, we decided to go on to 17 Mile Drive, is the bit along the ocean. Now, this year, they kind of closed it off to just public access. You had to have a reason to be there. Because we're in the rangy, we managed to blag our way in. And we went there very late one night, and there were two security cars just patrolling. Wherever you went, if you stood anywhere for too long, they'd kick you out with quite some verve. As we got on there, it was 10 at night, no one was on this road, and we saw two headlights in the distance, and I was like, right, we're getting kicked up. We're putting in prison. Unless Ben can pull some diplomatic cards, we're done. But what came past? But a bloody Pagazzondini, mate, and an SL65 black in red, a different Bugatti Zonda.
Yeah.
And then there's a third, then there's a Cinque here as well.
There was a Cinque here.
Which we did see.
Yeah.
Drove past organically.
The Zonda F, the one at DK, is, I know, like, the one we saw, the yellow one, which I think was an S, is a, like, super original. The guy doesn't want to change it. He doesn't want to send it back to Pagani and do any of that stuff. But that F...
The F is perfect.
Because the F was already perfect anyway. It sounded unbelievable. It looked unbelievable. It was, like, peak Zonda anyway. Before that, anything after that, I feel like it just goes a little bit too far. But that one, it's just had just a few upgrades from Pagani, where it's like, is it 760 or the Barchetta exhaust, I think it is, HP Barchetta exhaust.
With a 760 engine.
760 sort of mechanical upgrade. Obviously, the suspension is different. It's got the wing is slightly bigger. I can't remember. I think it's 760 or something else. So it's got a slightly higher wing, but it's just tiny little details.
Yeah,
it's still identifiable as an F, but the noise it makes is unbelievable. It's so cool, yeah. And I need that. I really need that. Well, I do.
We need a crash. crash Bugatti Zonda on the channel.
We also saw. Every single...
Sorry, there's a Viper.
We are in a car park where there's cool cars around, so we may get distracted.
Go on, Benjamin.
Oh, okay. We saw every single version of the Aventador, bar the Veneno.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Even the Countach?
Yeah, all so, of Ben, them. So Ben is, our Aventador man. He's our man on the street when it comes to Aventadors. And Ben, you said, all I'd like to see on this trip is a couple of Aventadors.
I'd love to see that.
And my oh my, did it deliver.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, so Revoltos, they're everywhere. To the point where there's too many, I'll be real. It becomes not that special because there's too many. There's Aventadors, though, still feels special.
There's an SE30 Revolto over there with its nose lift up, and Will gets really quite annoyed about it.
If you own a supercar, you probably don't listen to this podcast, but if you do and you park with your nose lift up, what are you doing? Your nose lift is for getting over speed bumps, it's for getting out of car parks, it's for getting over things that are slightly high. When you park up with nose lift, your car looks like ass, man. Don't just stop it. Any car with nose lift, when you're over the bump, lower it.
Also, this is that is the most first world thing that our audience are like, yeah, I don't have that.
I don't care. Yeah.
My 206 is fine, mate.
We saw every one of those. My favourite, though, there were my two favourites. There was a very nice... It's almost like, is it Miami blue, the Porsche color?
Yeah. Which one?
The light blue.
The SVJ?
Yeah. Light blue SVJ, lovely spec. Mm. And there's also a really clean...
Ben could do the auctioneer thing as well. Here we've got a SVJ, lovely spec, Miami blue PTS Porsche color here.
It was lovely.
Let's talk about the moment.
You can talk about the moment, sure. Shame me there was a moment. On the podcast.
They're going to shame Benjamin on the podcast once more.
What is this?
Is that I said to Ben, we pulled up at a petrol station, a gas station, here in Carmel, and Blake happened to be there, and he was talking to that very owner of the SVJ. I believe he is an Instagram chappy of sorts, and he has just the right exhaust, I believe.
A Gintani?
I don't know if it's a Gintani, but he has a set of pipes that makes that noise. And I said to Benjamin, look, I think we could go over there. Blake's are in. The guy's there. The doors are up as well, because obviously, why would they not be? Would you like to see if we can sit in it? I said, Ben could ask, or I can ask, either or. And you wouldn't do it.
No,
he wouldn't do it. But I do, and Ben said, and he's told me, he's like, I'll wait till I have my own. I like that mentality, but I also think you need to have your seat so you can go. You know what? now I need to push myself to go and do that.
You need to smell the steak so it pushes you to eat it.
But the thing is that you two are very confident.
You've got
I'm
to
not.
Taste the wine and go. I'll have a full bottle. Thank you very much.
You two are very confident and very, very, and not only confident, you are actually very good at the social aspect of it.
No,
and I'm
it's
not.
It's not. It's
I don't like it.
Have it.
I'm
some
not.
People...
So for me, it's probably not the correct thing, but I'd rather just not do it.
Now, here's how I know that's not true, Ben. Because we are, as we've admitted many times, penises. Mm-hmm. And we like messing around in public. Nothing horrible, but a beep and a wave. But in America, you're afforded a lot more rope. They people will allow you to get away with a lot more because they believe you're just an innocent Englishman.
Also, Americans
the barrier for entry is
much lower.
Is much lower.
Americans are genuinely lovely. Like, yeah. I will say, like, we're nice in England, but we're a bit more standoffish. We're a bit more like, if you try and speak to someone, they're going to be a bit more like, what do you want?
It's proven how much of an asshole we really are, because we do this and it's normally very nice, but we're doing it in jest, and they come back to us with something very nice and we go, that was actually just very nice.
Yeah. So I've written down I've got just two quotes of the trip. There was one earlier, but we'll move on to interactions with the public in a moment.
I did get shouted at earlier, though, just for trying to walk around someone's car. He called me a mofo.
Yeah,
I just tried to walk around his car, and he said I should have waited. Also, mofo,
because he had a lowered people carrier that he decided to try and get over a speed bump, but we assumed that he was beached.
That was a one-off.
The rest of them would be nice. Firstly, two quotes. Will's eating mac and cheese like they're drinking wine while at the DK cocktail party.
Which is a scooping it then.
completely factual statement.
I was swallowing it.
And then the other one I've just got of the quotes is, I pointed at some random nets in a tree and I said, yo, they've got Go Ape here. Ben said, yo, let me have a go. And then very sadly said, no, that's not Go Ape. but let me move on to the actual things, interactions that
now,
we've had.
The thing is, it's not to make fun of people. It's just because it in is. England, we don't get the ability. Okay, Will does that. In the ability of going. Like, you can walk past someone, for example, and go, hey, man, I love your dog. What's its name? They can then say, its name is Stephen. And then you can respond back with, I love your dog. Or you can say a different name back. It's completely innocent.
It's innocent. But in the UK, if you ask that, they go, what are you talking? Go away.
Yeah,
just
go
leave me
away.
Alone.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to...
He's trying to steal my dog.
Yeah, interact with strangers. First one, Will went out the car and just said, you look mad comfortable, bro, to a well-dressed older man sitting on a wall.
He was.
And he said,
thanks.
We were sitting eating dinner. The server said, do you want to get any sides? I looked at both Will and Ben and said, do you guys want anything? And they both, in unison at the same time, Will said, I don't care. Ben said, I don't know you. And I, without missing a beat, just said, yeah, no, that's fantastic. We're all good. The server was quite confused about that one.
But then still, this is the thing. In the UK, they'd be like, you're taking the piss. Whereas in America, they go, no worries, man, all good.
Fantastic.
Like, they just, they're so... eager to be nice.
Ben, to a man who's in the middle of filming something, said, how's the low light on that thing? That was a camera. He said, yeah, pretty good. Meanwhile, this car was moving away. So that was a conversation that kind of, it faded away. He seemed quite happy about that.
Is the M3 on there?
M3?
The lowered one on the wheels.
The M3 is just as a concept. That was my favourite one.
That was a tough
you
experience.
You can do that one.
It was, we were driving around Carmel, so not Carmel, downtown I think it is, which is where we're going this evening actually. And there tends to be lots of people cruising around doing twat laps and what such. And we were, that is
a track hawk
with a set of Hoosiers on the back. Lovely.
Also burning oil.
Driving around, and there was this quite pleasant F80 M3 just out to my right with a very young chap driving, and he was on a set of BBS LMs.
As everyone.
So I said, a little too hastily actually, because I realised how poor the fitment was after I said it. I said, love the wheels and I love the fitment. And he said, yeah, and he explained that it needed spacers. And I said, yeah, it does need spacers. So I'm in the passenger seat at this point. It's left-hand drive, so he's in the driver's seat. I'm chatting directly to the driver. And then I thought, you know what? Let's crank up some bullshit up here. I've been nice. Let's get something funny out of this. So I said to him, does it rub? And he said... I said, does it rub? And then he responded, and then Edwin decided, this is a perfect moment, to
to leave,
to leave from the traffic lights. And I said, and what about the wheels, ha? And the ha was just as Edwin pulled away. It took my breath away. So the joke was, there was a silly joke in there, but he laughed.
He laughed and he found it funny. He liked it. It's good. I do believe that just because we're English and they're American, they go, that was a you guys sound funny. Yeah, so that was a good interaction.
I have no idea what you just said.
So if you're on holiday, just try it. Just slang a random conversation. And you don't have to be you either.
No.
You can be whoever you want to be.
We've been so many names.
There was two Brians earlier in the car.
Yeah. We've done it.
There's been Ed and Eddie. Sorry, Ed and Dave in the car at one point. That was good.
There's been one or two recently where they have turned out to be either subscribers or listeners to the podcast, and that was interesting.
That was rough.
We're hoping they lost in translation somewhere, and they just thought, wow, they're a bit more weird in person. than they really are.
Exactly.
I also
correct.
Did threaten to kill Benjamin.
That was good. I've got that written down here.
To a member of the Quail staff.
That was
a part of the Quail. It's actually media. So we got in media passes. Ben was on a full-blown ticket. So he was the big dog, but he couldn't get into the little media area where there were sort of drinks and what such because his wristband was a different colour. So Edwin managed to blag him in.
I said, yeah.
Managed to blag him into there.
With the accent, I said, sorry, can you not hear he's English as well? He's with us. And the guy went... I'll let it in on this time.
I just
time.
Went, hello.
Yeah, you did say hello in a very English way.
We went in and we had our cold drink and then we went to leave. And Edwin and Ben were ahead of me. And the guy who let Ben in said to me, he's like, get him a yellow bracelet. I was like, yeah, we'll try our best or we'll just kill him. And the guy just went, ha ha. Just a threat to murder someone,
just,
and he was like,
just a real...
That's pretty funny. No idea what he said.
Whenever Will wants to talk to an American, for some reason he leans out the window and says, hey, buddy. But in Will's voice and his accent, just the way it just sounds so wrong.
You know when you go to Italy or to France and you've got to start pronouncing
you have to change it, yeah.
A different, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, pal.
There was a hey, Mr. Pal last night, which I've never heard in my life before.
A combination of two.
And it was effective, I'll tell you that. So there's been some bullshit.
This came from the SVJ story.
What's that?
This whole conversation came from the SVJ story where you said that I wouldn't talk to him. I assume you're going to say, but I'm happy to do the silly stuff.
Exactly. You do. You are. You know, if we ask you to do something, you'll say no. But if you feel the spur of the moment, you'll do it just as good as the greats.
But it's all harmless
fun. Ben told
the
waiter last night that I was a pizza reviewer.
Yeah, and you told a guy today that I was a policeman.
In Slough.
I said, no, I'm just training to make it seem a little bit more realistic.
I said, he jacked it all in for this stuff and pointed at the cars. So, yeah, if you meet us out and about, there is a chance we will be just messing around.
If you're an American, you are.
Also,
just know you're done.
For any brands listening, we can be serious maybe
no,
sometimes.
Can.
I don't know that that's true, but it could happen.
Just
maybe.
Watch our back catalogue.
Or Ben's back.
Speaking of the event where Ben said, well, I told someone that Ben was a policeman, I also got mistaken for the owner of an Enzo.
Fantastic. You know what? Another episode of frankly, bullshit. Mm. We were filming at the back of an Enzo. They were doing a concourse. So if you don't know, that is where, it's not where they drop from a tree and you hit them against each other. Okay. It is where you bring a car to an event and you will then get it checked out by a judge. They will mark down anything that's not original, any scuff, any scrape, whatever. And basically the winner is the person with the best car. There was an Enzo, a Ferrari Enzo there, a car that we now know worth to be between $5 and $10 million on a bad day. And Ben was getting some shots of it for the video, and Will was standing in his rather fetching gilet, some Laguna Seca gilet.
It was.
And what was the name? What was the name?
Brian.
It was Brian. They said, the man walked up and said, now, I'm fairly sure he did say, are you the owner of this? But he was a bit mumbled. He said, I'm looking for Brian. And Ben said, well, Brian's here, and pointed at Will. And without missing a beat, Will went, hello, I'm Brian. And the guy said, put his hand out, shook Will's hand and said, so yeah, we're going to go ahead and start judging this.
And then there was some bullshit. And then there were two ladies just behind this guy and they clocked on soon and were basically tapping at the guy's back, being like, these guys have nothing to do with this car.
They're not the car.
Let's move on from
it. He's just called Brian, not Brian the owner. Which for some reason that guy didn't clarify.
Yeah, so good job, Ben. You really ruined that judge's day.
Hey, you told him I was a policeman in Slough. And he said, I really want to go to Goodwood one day. And then you said, yeah, go to Slough, it's nearby.
No, I said, do not go to Slough.
Sorry.
It's a dangerous place.
Yeah. We are going to counter all of this bullshit with a little bit of goodwill later on, hopefully, or tomorrow, by giving away a tripod.
Yeah, that's not a euphemism.
We had limited luggage on this trip, and we didn't have a tripod, and we found out we were interviewing the CEO of Lamborghini, went to Target, and bought one of the worst tripods ever used.
Hey, no, that's a fantastic tripod.
But it is brand new.
It's a beginner, it's a great starter
it's
tripod.
It's a starter tripod, just because it's not a £7,000 Yongnuo,
fluid
or whatever it is.
Yeah, I love that brand. So later on, we're going to find a car spotter, and we're going to just gift him a tripod. It's brand new. We've used it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, we fantastic. Will, because I think that's a good deed.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the fact that we can't fit it in our luggage.
No, exactly. We were going to do it anyway. So, what else have we got?
We've got Ultimate Panama Hat in the rear windscreen.
Now, look, it's a known thing that if you're of an older generation, you will love to put your wicker hat, your Panama hat, some brollies, a national...
Oh, sorry, there's a Veyron there.
That is a Veyron.
Hello, mate. That's
fantastic.
Lovely.
This is what we've been seeing all week.
Sorry. Maybe a... what do you call that thing? What's it where you go to the park in the UK? National Trust. You have like a National Trust sticker, you have some brollies on the back. It's big time old fodder. Mm. We've seen Jaguars with Panama hats in the back. We've seen all sorts.
Morgans.
Morgans is a classic. Well, they're wearing a Morgan, the hat, obviously. We saw a Koenigsegg...
Jesko.
Absolute.
Nope.
It wasn't an Absolute.
Attack.
It was an Attack with a Panama hat. We'll put the photo on screen here. It's a Panama hat in the rear window. Also, the rear window, the size of a Panama hat.
Yeah, like perfectly.
You couldn't fit it. Also, having that in there means you cannot see out the back.
No.
So what's the point in that?
Trim the fur. I think it might be...
Oh, interesting. Interesting. No, it had a wing.
Oh, it was an Attack, yeah. I can't remember which, because we have also seen possibly 4 or 5 Jeskos.
Which Koenigsegg was that?
I can't remember.
That's a fantastic Veyron over there, folks.
It's very cool.
I love it.
Also, T-Pain was here. We didn't see him. No. I would have loved to meet
in
T-Pain.
In his Koenigsegg Regera.
What? There's still time.
There is still time. There might be There's stoppage time.
Also, sorry, that Bugatti is valet parked.
No,
that man just got the drive of his life.
You know what? Love that. Let's be valets here next year.
That would be great. And then when it goes around the block... with a go, and you start putting a GoPro in it, and they go, where are you going with that?
They come back and they go, why did you ask for the speed key?
It'd be a great video, actually, just to be valet, whack a GoPro in, and you just get, you only get like a minute in it, you're not even getting it, you know, up to speed, but you just, that's your review. You have 30 seconds to review it from there to your car parking space. That's
Instagram type stuff.
If you're on a
car that you've never driven before, but yeah. You go, this is the most fantastic car.
And now it's parked. Anyway, on to the next one. This is the... Oh,
I'd call it First Impressions, the series.
Ooh.
And you have to give your exact first impression to
Netflix
anything.
And Amazon, okay.
write that down.
And you're going to put celebrities in there too. Fantastic, love that. T-Pain's going to be there, is he? Wonderful. Blake up in this bitch, I've written here.
Blake
Sandberg, we had dinner with him on the first night. He's here in the Mercy Largo.
We went to the Stokes Adobo.
Stokes Adobo is what he called it.
Said it was the Stokes Adobo. And we had to translate that, and it was actually a lovely restaurant.
Google Maps was not familiar with that one.
We saw a Reventon.
I was so happy, man.
Again, this is one of the, again, it wasn't a show, it wasn't parked up somewhere. We were on our way back from Big Sur. We went up to Big Sur because it's lovely views there. People tend to go, some people drive like penises, but you do see some cool stuff. On our way back, just a Reventon.
Yeah.
Just driving past you, like normal.
Also, meant to say a quick shout out to the creamers who follow us on our Instagram. Mm. Cars Rule Everything Around. We uploaded absolute dross for the whole week, just out of context stuff. If you want to follow that Instagram account, I will commit to us whenever we're away anywhere again. We will put some silly stuff up on that Instagram. I will put a archive so you can look back at all of the stories you may have missed. Some quite funny ones in there.
So also, we have been discussing possibly just doing stupid memes on there.
Yeah, no, there'll be some memes. Yeah.
Also, I can't view that page.
It's weird.
The page is banned. I still believe one of these guys have blocked me, but I can't view it. You. I felt very left out all week. Can I get from you guys your favourite thing you've done?
Man, just being in a car with you, Ben.
That's not true at all. Can I have your favourite thing this week that you've done? You can choose one.
My favourite thing was the quail. I'm stealing that because we didn't do it last
year.
Quail
as a whole.
You can't choose the quail.
All right.
Well, it's the obvious one. It's the obvious
one. A moment.
Okay, a single moment. God. Come back to me on that. We'll get that at the end of the... You know, kind of like a reverse rule of ruin.
I met a corgi. I met multiple corgis.
Many corgis. Ben's so very happy when he meets a corgi.
Yeah, especially in Carmel.
That's your moment.
Yeah, that's a bit sad.
It wasn't actually a moment. It was up there, though.
Not your friends transcending all obstacles and finally getting you a ticket into the Carmel. Into the quail at exorbitant expense
to
the business.
I thanked you multiple times.
Yeah,
and also,
in many ways as well.
Yeah. Yep. And also, I just said that we can't have the quail. My favourite thing, I'm just going to say it. My favourite thing, I really enjoyed just going into Big Sur.
Okay,
that's nice.
Yeah. I enjoy that because there's just so many cool things to see. It feels gambly as well.
Gambly?
Yeah, because it's like you're going in there and there's no guarantee of seeing anything.
Oh, yeah.
You may or may not get something out of it. Feels.
And there might be a fire, which is always scary.
We drove for a section of Big Sur and we were talking about how beautiful the lighting was.
Like, it's like sunset lighting in the middle of the day.
Everyone said like this heaven. Is, I quote, this is like heaven.
Yeah, is it like what I would imagine heaven
was? It was just
like
this yellow glow.
Everything had a sheen and a glint to it, and then we rolled the window down and went, that's smoke. That's, you know, fire. That's what that is.
That is fire.
Ben, I will get back to you on that. I'm going to think about it by the end of the podcast.
I want to change my night.
I've been talking on this trip. I don't believe in favourites at all. I think you can have like top fives.
Fair.
And top threes or top tens. I would be very hard pushed to find it. There's been a few moments in this trip where I've looked around and thought, how in God's name have us three men from TDC, how on earth have we ended up here? Like, even at DK's house. Like,
yeah, that was good.
We have an invite to DK's house, and I'm looking around this mental house, and I don't know who anyone is, but there's Zondas outside. There is a, what was that bit, the Bolide or the Bolide, that's just parked up outside. There's an LFA, there's a GT1. There's a very random thing that was based on a Carrera GT.
I don't even know what the name is.
But I was like, how's this happened then? And at Lamborghini's day at Pebble Beach, we're at Pebble Beach at the Lamborghini Lounge in Monterey. What on earth are we doing here?
We don't.
This is mad.
Please note, our plan is not to become supercar reviewers or anything anytime soon. We still love what we do on TDC, and we're very thankful. Shout out the creamers as always. Mm. You guys are the reason we get to do this sort of stuff. Watching TDC, listening to the podcast. Thank you.
That's fair.
I'll change mine.
What was yours?
Oh. You
I don't think I can. When you were speaking, I was going through my list of photos. And there were so many.
That's what I'm looking at.
I was going to go, oh, this one. Actually, no, I like this more and this more. And so I'm not choosing one.
So great. So that's a redundant question.
Yeah. I'm going to actually go with, and it's a hard, there are many that would probably be even with it, but actually meeting Valentino Balboni was
That's
cool.
very cool.
Just as a moment, like, yeah. That was cool.
Actually, I would
getting into the Quail and then meeting multiple people there was cool. But actually having a conversation with Valentino Balboni was really cool.
Gordon Murray is one I will remember forever. That's the man that made my favourite Cars on Earth. That's very special.
Gordon Murray as well was quite cool. Because me and Evan were doing Gordon Murray things at Car Throttle, like talking about that guy
making F1s,
building F1s. No, we were doing like little like
doing aero. And
we were doing social videos and making silly memes and all this sort of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
That's because that is my favourite thing on earth is the McLaren F1. What else we got?
What else we got in here? You've put in here Ben. We came out here to find someone.
I can't believe it.
We tried.
I promise you, we tried. Now
there were UFO sightings. There are a few moments where it's like, what's that? And you go, nope, that's just a pink car.
Unfortunately, Mr. Bugger was not found.
The ever evasive Mr. Bugger.
So Mr. Bugger was seen at Exotics on Broadway.
Great event.
Which was, no, it wasn't. Not. Which it was today, this morning. Now, because of the Lamborghini CEO meeting, we didn't have that long there. But we spent 30 to 45 minutes driving around. We went to the same, we went to the same spot that Mr. Bugger photo was taken, or that Mr. Bugger was seen last year, to look for him. We searched every adjacent road, we searched everywhere. Mr. Bugger not found. Now
either he's been killed.
Well, this is what I was going to say. My biggest hope is that Mr. Bugger is okay.
Yeah.
Because that's important. But he's important to TDC lore. He doesn't know it.
No.
But
he hasn't responded to Ben yet.
I would be upset if anything happened to Mr. Bugger. So
or he's just sold his car and he's gone under the radar and he's driving around in a Yukon or something. That's possible. But the car he was hidden last year feels like he'd probably turn up in something similar.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I was excited to bring you news of Mr. Bugger, to bring you a photo of the boys in front of Mr. Bugger's car.
There is still time. So perhaps next week there might be an update. We might even have to do an emergency podcast. 10 minutes long,
Mr. Bugger.
Alert, Mr. Bugger found. Do not worry, folks. Everyone go about their business. It's all good, but it does feel unlikely.
Mr. Bugger found alive in Salinas.
I'm letting him go.
You're letting.
What's the phrase? If you love something, let it go. If it comes back,
it's
yours.
Better to have loved and lived than never have loved at all.
Fantastic.
I'm letting him go. I'm going to see if he comes back to me. I'm allowing Mr. Bugger to leave.
I believe he will find his way back to us.
That's what I just said.
Maybe next time we see Mr. Bugger, he'll be in London.
We ever said that story before?
No, I don't know if we have.
I think we did.
Did we?
Last year, well, very quick anecdote. Last year, when we did the Hummer video, we rented me a Chevy Traveller, dreadful car, as a camera car for one day. It was on Chiro, so I met the owner of the car.
Cool.
He was a lovely guy. He was a man called Francisco.
Lovely
man.
And
he lived in San Francisco, which I found very funny. And he was actually a lovely guy, making a bit of small talk with me. And as I was doing all of the, I was on my phone doing all the Chiro, like checking for damage and all that sort of stuff. He's talking to me and he said, hey man, maybe next time we see each other, I'll be in London. Which implies to me he's renting my car.
Yeah, that's my favourite part.
I'll be honest with you, we've used that one with a few people in America as well.
Yeah.
Saying, next time we see each other, we'll be in London.
Mr. Bugger, mate, we'll find you one day.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Maybe one day when we see you, you'll be in London.
If we ever buy an American car or we do anything in America, we're requesting the plate, Mr. Bugger.
Yep.
If we can't get it from California.
But if we were to request it from California, they say it's available, we go...
Shot dead.
Rest in peace. And then we will hold the funeral.
I managed to get rid of the plate.
No, not possible. You wouldn't.
One last thing in the last... One last thing on the list is you've put in here, Edwin, Whopper Chat. This is fresh in the memory, I think.
This was tough. Right.
Whopper Chat.
Now, look, our socio-economic status here is very low.
Well, let's talk about it.
I'm very comfortable in my life and I'm very proud and very happy to be. I'm very lucky to say that. But we're small fish in a big pond here.
Mm.
Now, What?
Speak for yourself, pal.
That's true, sorry. He is the pond.
he's actually sucked the pond dry. In more ways than one.
That's great.
So, we caught a shuttle. There are sometimes shuttles shuttling people around. And we caught one of these, and it was us three at the back of the shuttle, because obviously the cool kids sit at the back of us. I was not. I was at the front behind the driver always. I was a neek. But in the front, there were two gentlemen. And I'd call them gentlemen of wealth.
Oh, they were,
of immense wealth. If what they were saying was true, they are some big players.
But there was a more English sounding man. I won't dox him too much, but he and from what we could tell, there was ruminations of him owning a McLaren F1. I heard things that he owned potentially were McLaren F1. These aren't him just stating them. This was just in conversation naturally coming up.
We were in traffic for a long time.
Yeah, we were.
And they were chatting loudly.
McLaren F1, Ferrari F40, Lexus LFA. There were some cool cars in there. The man he was speaking to, though, was insufferable. Was truly insufferable.
He was movie level arrogant.
It was incredible. But this is the one thing, if you come here, that you will hear all week bragging about stuff. And this guy, he opened with, "Man, I got a GT4 car. I'm just too good of a driver for it these days. I need to upgrade to an LMP2 car." And genuinely, we were sitting there, and I don't think I couldn't stop myself from even looking over aghast at Ben. Usually you just go, right, now's not the time and place to be making fun of this. But, and it was, he doubled down on it three or four times, just, "My pace is too quick, you know, I'm too fast in the GT4 car. I'm above the GT4 car now. I need the LMP2. I reckon I can pick one up for half a mil, that'll be fine." There are some prize whoppers around here, and we are too, going around being clowns. But
yeah, ours is wholesome though.
It is whopper shopping. It really is.
If you like to people spot, oh good god, is it a great one?
Window whopping is what we're doing. We are going window shopping for whoppers.
50 Cent did that one.
The phrase "something to prove" has never had more meaning.
Ben, what's a favourite whopper moment of yours?
Oh, that's a tough... That could be that one.
Big Sur was good. We went to Big Sur and there's a little parking spot on the side where it also seems, like I was saying, it's like a Turkish bazaar of videographers. Mm. Someone turns up in a supercar and five different videographers with cameras hanging off their car will go, "Mimi, hey, you want to do rollers? No, me, I'll do it. It's quite crazy, but there is a lot of flexing going on around there. There's a man in a GT2, just getting out the car, sitting on it, and then there was a guy in an M4 GTS who just kept backing up forward and back.
He was manoeuvring that thing to make noise.
Just to go...
People just want to be seen.
Yeah.
They either want to be seen to be filming or seen to be doing social media, or they want to be seen in their car. And look, each to their own and all that kind of stuff. But if that's what you're doing, come on, bro.
I do feel bad for them.
There is one other thing. Now, we forgot to mention it.
What's that?
We're not going to say who it is because I know the creamers will go into the comments and make fun. I blinded someone.
Did blind someone. Now, it flashbanged him.
No, flashbanged the man. Yeah. I flashbanged the man. There was a man who's actually semi-well-known.
Yep.
In a very well-known car, an incredibly high-end car. And we were going down Carmel High Street, and I saw this car outside to the right, and I thought, "Oh, I want to get a photo of this car." And as it was pulling up,
there's a video you got.
It was a video. Well, this is the thing. I thought I was taking a photo, but I was taking a video. And at night, the flash came on. Mm. So I thought, "Hey, I'll just roll with it. I'll just get a video of this car. This would be cool." And this man, he's a bit of a whopper too. I said, "Oh, sorry about that. Didn't know the flash was on." He said, I can't see anything while trying to manoeuvre a multi-million-dollar car around. And I don't know why. It kind of annoyed me. So I just went, "There's not much I can do about that."
While still filming.
So I have it on camera. Maybe one day I'll post it. But I'm sorry if you're that man listening. You're not.
He went, guys, I can't see anything.
I can't see anything. Because he was quite stressfully trying to manoeuvre a multi-million-dollar car into a very tight car parking space. Sorry about that. I flashbanged you.
Yeah, it wasn't probably our best moment, but...
We are a nuisance.
Yeah, we are.
Basically.
Yeah, sorry to the...
But it's great fun, and we see cool cars, and this is a perfect, you know, combination of everything we want.
Yeah.
Well, bullshit and cars.
So, there it is, our Monterey special in the car. There will no doubt be some more little anecdotes and stories next week when we come back, because after all, Monterey week is every week when it's cream. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the podcast. You can click... No, you can't do that. We don't do that on this one.
No, we don't do that.
Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week on number 97.
Coming up on the big honey.
Oh, we're getting close now. Thank you very much for listening. Ben, do the outro. Say something.
Goodbye, guys.